Voice of Princeton Word Island.
This portion of Market Scope is brought to you by your radio. Record the stations in your market and send them to Phil. You, too, can show how your community sounds on the Market Scope.
Welcome to Market Scope on the January 1999 DX Audio Service. This month, we're going to conclude our trip down to Amarillo, Texas, courtesy of Mark Erdman. Here's part two of the Amarillo Market Scope.
Dealing with here is one of the most deadly substances the Earth has ever known.
Pure rock.
Doesn't that stuff cause brain damage?
Yes!
Oh, no!
107.9 Z-Rock. West Texas New Rock 107.9 Z-Rock. Green Day, that's hitching a ride off the request line this afternoon. 2 minutes away from 5 o'clock. We have that 5 o'clock roadblock coming up here in just a little bit. Brought to you by Music Box at 10th and Madison. Going to hear three in a row from the Foo Fighters, including their latest Baker Street. Soundgarden's up next right here on Z-Rock.
Now, more pure rock with Jay Curry on West Texas' number one rock superstation, Z-Rock.
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women.
Here's an important announcement for all you young punk rodders.
The 5 o'clock roadblock. Jay Curry, KCRK, Canyon, Amarillo, 107.9 Z-Rock.
West Texas, number one rock superstation, 107.9 Z-Rock, finishing up three in a row from the Foo Fighters for the 5 o'clock roadblock. Brought to you, yeah, there we go, Music Box at 10th and Madison. I've got Fuel, Our Lady Peace, and some requested Red Hot Chili Peppers coming up here in just a bit. This is Metallica and the Unforgiven 2 on West Texas New Rock, 107.9 Z-Rock.
Estos son la música de los Yaquis. Cuando faltan 5 a las 6 de la tarde, sobre aviso de tormentas peligrosas, ¿eh? Los jinetes nos van a llevar a las noticias. Échenle mis jinetes. ¡Oh! Aviéntese, muchachos.
KZIP AM, C1310, Amarillo.
Esta es KZIP, la Z mexicana. 1310 AM en Amarillo, Texas.
De noticias tiene la información.
Qué bueno que está con nosotros. Esta es la información.
Great songs and great memories on your station for unforgettable hits. KIXD, the Memory Maker. Of course, are the Bachelors singing about Marie. She's still looking pretty good. Also, heard from Dinah Washington, September in the Rain. Scott Reese here. It is time for Reese's Pieces. I'm going to give you a little piece of music, and you're going to see if you can identify it. You can name the title or the artist. Either one will do, or name both, if you really want to impress everybody. All right, listen carefully. Here is your clue. See if you know what this is. All right, one more time. Beginning of what song is the question. Number to call if you want to take a guess, 1-800-582-0201. Got a free CD for your collection if you're the first one to correctly identify that song. Scott Reese on KIXZ. Thanks for helping us keep the unforgettable music alive. Great song from a not-so-great movie, Endless Love. And, of course, Diana Ross and Lionel Richie. And Roger Miller with The King of the Road. Before that, if you're driving, try not to be the king of the road. Thanks for taking us along. Scott Reese with a game of Reese's Pieces. We're trying to figure out what this song is. The clue was, in case you missed it the first time. All right, here it comes. Does that sound familiar to you? What do you think that is?
It's Perry Como, Catch a Falling Star.
Not a bad guess.
Not a correct one, though. We will have the correct answer coming up shortly. Your favorites, one after another, on Amarillo's Magic 940 KIXZ. Marty Shaw with Frenesy, playing a game of Reese's Pieces. All right, the mystery song. The clue was... Sounds kind of mysterious to me. What do you think that is?
Yes, it's Shangri-La by Robert Maxwell.
Oh, you got the title right. How about Vic Dana?
Oh, Vic Dana. I thought it was Robert Maxwell. I got Shangri-La.
You got the title right. That's that'll work.
Okay.
Good job.
Oh, I didn't win in so long. It's been about 2 years.
My gosh, it's high time. What's your name?
My name is May, like this month.
In case anyone asks you what you're listening to, here's what to say. KPUR 1071 FM.
Oldies 107 KPUR FM. Aretha Franklin on your radio dial at 633. Gary Alexander, officially the weekend now. 62 degrees on the outside. You've got CCR and John Fogerty playing on your radio. Oldies 107.1. The all new Oldies 107 KPUR FM. 636. Hi, it's Gary Alexander on the weekend. Mother's Day weekend, I must say. All you moms must think you're pretty special because it's your weekend, huh? Well, I'd like to congratulate Janine Gayhart, Mike Butler, Cindy Whitaker, Kim Baker, and Tricia Hill. They're our winners of our Mother's Day Pamper Your Mom package. I want to say a happy Mother's Day to everybody from Penny's Purses and Gifts, Belcher's Gold Works, Quality Carpet and Flooring, and Cellular One of Amarillo, plus the all-new Oldies 107 KPUR-FM. More good time rock and roll from Tom Jones next.
Hey, Jamie, I got...
KPUR 107.1 FM.
What a great start from Tom Jones. 1965 is not unusual. 640. Hi, it's Terry Alexander on this Friday. Thanks for tuning in. By request, here comes Neil Diamond and Brother Loves That Traveling Show.
On August 9th.
Good time rock and roll oldies, where every day is a no Madonna day. Just the best oldies on the planet. The home of good time rock and roll oldies. Oldies 107 Fun.
And the hits just keep on coming.
You got a smile.
KPUR-FM 646, and Terry Alexander is here on a Mother's Day weekend. Well, we've got this cool thing we're doing now on Thursdays. It's called Instant Replay Thursday. Well, it's a very, very simple contest. Let me tell you how it works. You hear your favorite oldie twice, and on the second time when you hear it, be the seventh caller at 320-0107. We're giving away Amarillo Dilla tickets this spring, free meals, and with one of our instant replays yesterday, Karen Bass won $107 in caper cash just like that. Listen all the time, but especially on Thursdays, to win free money. Here's Chicago, Color My World, the all-new Oldies 107 KPUR-FM. KPUR-FM. Hi, it's Terry Alexander. Friday evening, a golf tournament to benefit the Greater Amarillo Chapter of the American Red Cross tees off on Saturday, May 23rd. Mark this on your calendar. Saturday, May 23rd at the Paladero Creek Golf Club. It's a two-person team flighted scramble. Entry fee is $45 a person or $90 per team and includes greens fee, cart, and a steak dinner. For more information, you can call Brian or Dale at the American Red Cross, 376-6309. That's 376-6309. Right back with more good time rock and roll from the White Plains. What? The all-new Oldies 107 KPUR-FM? Well, this is where all your favorite songs have gone from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and I'm glad to play them for you. I'll tell you what's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Carole King, Herman's Hermits, The Kinks, Johnny Rivers, Rascals. What do you want to hear? Call me, 320-0107.
KPUR 1071 FM.
The all-new Oldies 107 KPUR. WBUR-FM at 658. Hi, it's Terry Alexander. Oh, well, thanks a lot. It shows you how important I am around here. Crank it up on the weekend. It's the Isley Brothers. It's your thing.
Oldies 107. KPUR-FM. Canyon, Emerald's home for good times and great oldies.
KPUR-FM, Gene Pitney. It hurts to be in love from 64 at 7:04 on a Friday evening. What do you want to hear? 320-0107. I know there's something on your mind that you want to hear. Call me. Here's Carole King now.
In bed all morning just to pass the time.
Good national audience.
This is the USA Radio Network.
Great Plains Christian Radio, KJIL, Copeland.
The Honorable Jerry Moran, who represents the 1st District of Kansas in Congress, will be guest speaker at Barclay College's commencement at 3 p.m. on May 3rd in Haviland. Another event scheduled for Saturday, May 2nd at 6 p.m. is the annual Alumni Banquet. The theme this year is Jesus is the Reason. Make plans to join us this weekend if possible. A reminder from Great Plains Christian Radio.
Good morning. The time is 6 o'clock Central Time, and a look at the Great Plains weather forecast on KJIL is calling for a partly sunny sky today and about a 20% chance of showers throughout the listening area, western Kansas, eastern Colorado, and the Panhandles. High temperatures to warm up to near 80 degrees on average for this afternoon, and then turning cooler by late this afternoon. Southwest winds to be 15 to 25 miles per hour and shifting to the north by later on this afternoon, and that will bring in the cooler temperatures. For tonight, expect a mostly cloudy sky and a 20% chance of showers in western Kansas and a 40% chance of rain in eastern Colorado and the Panhandles for tonight. Low temperatures to be 50 degrees, and across the region tomorrow, a 40% chance of shower activity, light rains on Sunday, and high temperatures to only reach the lower 60s for Sunday afternoons. Quite a bit cooler temperatures there. Currently at 61 degrees in Dodge City, 55 in Garden City, 57 in Liberal, 69 in Woodward, and 52 degrees in the Holly region. We'll return to music in a moment with Tuesday's Child.
When you give Bibles to millions of people each year, you're going to hear some dramatic stories. This is Dennis Mulder, president of the Bible League, and we're excited to be able to share some of those stories with you every weekday on Word Power. It's just 3 minutes, but it can impact your entire day. Join us for the next broadcast of Word Power.
Hear Word Power every Monday through Friday evening right here on KJIL at 925.
99.1 FM, KJIL.
That's it for the Amarillo Market Scope. Next month, I'll be looking for you to send in a tape of your hometown radio or stations you've recorded in a town while on a visit. If you have a station doing something rather unique or an unusual format, please be sure to record it and send it to us. When you send a tape, be sure to either edit it yourself with a description of the stations recorded and feel free to include some commentary about the stations, especially if you have some interesting thoughts about past formats, people at the station, or anything you think would be interesting. Otherwise, just record the stations and include an index with your tape. If possible, be sure to make the recordings the best quality possible. And where do you send your tapes? Doc, why not tell them the address?
To submit your market scope, contact Phil Wayne at 135 and a half Midland Avenue, Findlay, Ohio, 45840.
I couldn't have done it better myself. For the market scope, I'm Phil Wayne. See you in February. Now here are the musings to the members.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors. Members may muse by calling the action line at 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day.
Hi, this is Mike Lance in Miami Beach, Florida. It's 21 minutes after 10 on Sunday, the 22nd of November, 1998. First of all, WTMI 93.1 in Miami seems to be changing their format very much. They're playing not only just classical music, but they're playing Frank Sinatra, and they're playing a lot of popular things. That's number one. Number two, Sugar 900 WSWNAM dropped most of their Motown music, or maybe all of it, to go black gospel and a swap shop program in the morning from 10 to 10:30. Also, in other news, it seems as though that Atlanta may be getting a Korean station at 1310. If anybody knows anything about it, they can let the DX Audio Service know on the Musings line. Also, in other news, we have a Hebrew Pirate station at 91.7 that's on the air on Sundays.
This is Tim Hendel in Huntsville. I, and probably many others, am hearing 1650 in the X band in Cedar Falls, Iowa. So far, I haven't been able to get the call letters exactly right. They were carrying Sports Talk overnight. Now, as of the week of Thanksgiving, they're carrying Art Bell. I wonder if anyone knows if this is a station that has moved from somewhere else or a new station.
Hello, Fred and DXers. This is the one and only Victor speaking to you from the Schmidt House in downtown Silver Spring. I have noticed last week that a station at 1650 has started testing. I haven't heard them this week yet, but when this station was on the air with their testing of tones, they were extremely strong, both at 10,000 watts and 1,000 watts. I have no idea where the station is. They're not on the air at the moment, but I'm getting a second station at 1650. I think the call letters are KCNZ in Cedar Falls, Iowa.
Greetings, audio service members. Marty Rimpaugh here on December 1st. Yesterday at 5 a.m., the long-standing tradition at 1110 came to an end. KRLA is now LA Talk 1110, the new exciting LA Talk 1110. And they have Imus in the morning. They have G. Gordon Liddy very early in the morning. And when I was able to hear them with the adjacent signal from KFAX at 1100, it sounded like they were simulcasting with KLSX at 97.1. So something sad for Southern California radio. We lost a great music legend. So KRLA is now all talk. 1510 and 100.7 are no longer classical. They are a new music of your life format, KKHI. They did that sometime this morning. I don't know when. We knew it was going to happen. I just didn't know exactly when. They've changed their call sign. It is now KJOI. And where have we seen that call around? It's been in Beverly Hills in 1993. It was at 98.7 on the FM dial in the early 70s in Southern California, and 98.9 in the Central Valley around Dinuba. So KKHI is no more in the Bay Area. It is now KJOI, the joy of San Francisco, at AM 1510 and 100.7. Greetings, Marty Rimpaugh here with another correction on AM 1510 and 100.7. It apparently is not music of your life. It's affiliated with AM only.
Happy holidays to all the DXers and everyone connected with the DX Audio Service from TJ the DJ in Sycamore, Illinois. Hey, I'd like to ask, well, I got a muse here. What is it, why is it that, what is it with these stations that, satellite programming, do they have people there manning their transmitters, and do they have a production staff? In other words, what, is there anyone there? WAUR out of Sandwich, Illinois, has changed to Catholic Family Radio, and they once had this format called Beat Radio. Well, you hear now on the ID, you hear this is Catholic Family Radio, and someone shouting Alleluia, and you hear this soft religious music bed, and over that bed, you hear someone saying, this is Beat Radio on WAUR, Sandwich Aurora, which makes me wonder, who is there? What has happened to the big X, XERB? When I was in Vancouver, Washington, back in the 60s, that was the biggest station around. XERB was in Los Angeles, and I could pick it up from Vancouver, Washington, and they were a big R&B, black R&B format. What are they doing now? What have they been doing since the 60s till now? Happy New Year, everybody. Keep DXing.
Hi, this is Audrey Levine in New York City. I just wanted to report a format change. On 105.1, which had gone to WBIX, Big 105, last year, this time, went through two format changes, and I thought the first one was going to stick, and then I turned around, and they're on the second one. Well, the first one that they changed to after Big 105 was something like Modern Hits 105, and just when I got ready to tape it, I turned around, and there's another format, and they call it now Jammin' Oldies. I don't know if anybody has heard of a DJ named Al Bandiero. He does some like syndicated shows about the 70s and the 80s. Well, anyway, he's one of the DJs there. So they basically play like a lot of disco stuff. I have it on now. They're playing Everlasting Love by Carl Carlton. They've been playing a lot of disco stuff, some stuff from the 60s like Ride Sally Ride, whatever that thing is. And anyway, I will... if anybody wants to hear it, I'll make a recording for them. Okay? Call me at 212-614-8764. Have a nice day.
Hey there, DXers. This is Josh Owens calling from my college home of Reidsville, North Carolina. And this is December the 7th, 1998, at 4:35 in the afternoon. And just got the magazine a couple of days ago due to the fact that I haven't been able to get back to the house to get it. But anyway, comment for Mr. Ken Onuchuk. The Carolina Hurricanes, their flagship is 850 WRBZ in Raleigh. Let's see, that's 850 WRBZ in Raleigh, North Carolina. And question from our Where Are They Now department. Where is Jim Snowbarger? Whatever happened to him? I know his column is not in there anymore, of course. But I was wondering what he's up to and how he's doing. If someone could let me know on the magazine, appreciate it. Thank you. And we appreciate the magazine.
Hello there, DX Audio Service members, and happy holidays unto you. This is Johnny Ott, and I enjoyed John Bowker's little clip there on his, 1530 stuff there. The voice that you hear talking about the program, The Protestant Hour, if that voice sounds familiar unto you, that is none other than Don Elliott. Now, on the program, he calls himself Don Elliott Heel, which I presume is his full name, and Elliott, I gather, is his middle name. And for many years, Don Elliott was the voice that you heard on WWV. But that's the voice you heard for many years on WWV when they were using the mechanical drums before they went digital. Here's the latest saga on WWTC 1280 in Minneapolis that started out as Radio Oz and then became The Beat. The Beat left in October, and for a while they weren't doing really much of anything. And then on Halloween, they switched over to something called Catholic Family Radio. And for about a month, all they did was Gregorian chant. Now they're starting regular programming. And what they're doing now is a series of programs that was done by Bishop Sheen, Fulton J. Sheen. And the programming, I guess, comes out of Denver. Catholic Family Productions, I believe it's called.
Happy holidays, everyone. Hope everyone had a nice Christmas and Happy New Year. This is Doug Hunsinger in Pittsburgh, PA, reporting tonight, listening to AM 1650, testing from Portsmouth, Virginia. Both Victor Schmidt and I called, and... these folks didn't give us call letters, and Vic asked them to ID at the top of the hour and say hello to the National Radio Club, but the guy said yeah and never did it. Anyway, they're testing with orchestral, sounds a little bit like orchestral Christian music, no IDs, and sounds pretty good up here in Pittsburgh. I'm calling on December the 10th.
Happy holidays, Mike Dukin here, calling on Tuesday morning, December the 16th, and I have some X-band information and a question. It seemed that during the December issue, people were asking about the station on the X-band playing hip-hop and rap stuff. Well, I finally got a legal ID from that station a couple of nights ago. It is, as Fred mentioned, WJMZ in Ada, Michigan, serving the Grand Rapids area. However, you have to listen pretty carefully because the city of license, town of license, is covered up by the compression that the station uses. So that is the station, WJMZ in Ada, Michigan.
Hi, Fred and the Xers. This is the one and only Victor speaking to you from the Schmidt House. Today is December 17th. Yesterday, I noticed that WINX Winks in Rockville, Maryland, 1600, is no more. Now I'm hearing Spanish music. So Winks is gone. You're right, Doug Hunsinger. Winks stinks ever since they did their top 40 format. They were better when they were doing oldies. Also, 1650 is on the air testing, playing music, no station identification whatsoever. Fred, are stations conducting equipment tests required to give station IDs?
And that's our DX Audio Service, Musings to the Members. And if you have something to say, something on your mind, give us a call today at 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day. To answer some of the questions, let's go to Victor Schmidt's question first concerning the equipment ID. Yes, Victor, they should be giving a station ID at the top of each hour. Nowhere in the rules does it say that just because you're doing an equipment test, are you excluded from giving the top of the hour ID? They should be doing it. I guess they're just spread a little bit too thin or just do not put attention to it, but they should be doing it. Question about Jim Snowbarger. Jim has moved on to bigger and better things. In fact, I think he's doing a couple columns or some things for Playback Magazine. And TJ, your question about satellite programming. The state of technology, the way it is, enables a lot of stations to operate satellite operations virtually unattended. In fact, I know of a couple instances where there's some translators who are basically taking their programming off satellite from a station thousands of miles away, and their transmitter is being operated by somebody in a technical center at another location, which is thousands of miles away from both the station and the studios. Go figure. Anyway, they can do it, and it's not necessarily best for the public interest, but it is possible. And speaking of that old border blaster, I haven't heard XERB in a long time, so I don't know what the state of their system is or whether or not they're even on the air. Maybe some of our members out in the California region can let us know about that. I do remember several years back somebody was trying to resurrect some of the old big transmitters that the station had at one time. But whether or not they're even on the air and doing anything, who knows at this point. While reading my morning newspaper here in Lima, Ohio, I had an interesting article just jump right out at me. In fact, it's about a half-page article titled, "Ex-Singer Shines Light into World of Blind." This appeared in the Lima News. From Louisville, Kentucky, decades after retiring as a radio singer, Terry Hayes Sales is still using her voice to entertain. The 80-something Sales, who brushes aside questions about her age with a laugh, has recorded more than 800 books for the blind. She began reading for the blind in 1938. It's still an exciting part of my life. I feel like I'm making a new friend every time I pick up a new book, said Sales, who helped launch the American Printing House for the Blind. In the old days, we were called readers. Now we're narrators, she said. Her cultured voice makes printed word come alive, helped by her background in music and the arts. Sales was a high school sophomore in Chicago when she started singing professionally on the radio. She worked at two stations through school, but interrupted her career to attend Stanford University. Then she married and settled in Louisville, where she was a staff singer at WAVE and WHAS. After her husband volunteered for the Navy and went to sea, she returned to Chicago and became a talk show host on WGN. There was time to do commercials, serials, dramas, and comedies. We finally moved back to Louisville, and I got involved in television shows and the theater, Sales said. She heard the printing house was recruiting people for a new recorded book program. I auditioned, and was among the first selected 60 years ago, Sales said. The printing house produces about 500 titles annually for the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, a division of the Library of Congress. Books are assigned to narrators by a committee that decides which narrator will best match the material. Topics include fiction, nonfiction, cookbooks, textbooks, and autobiographies. Cassettes are available to the visually impaired at libraries or can be obtained free through the mail. The Louisville Printing House, which has five other studios around the country, has a national readership of about 750,000. Before taping a book, I'll read enough of it to get a good idea of what's happening and then take it from there, Sales said. Narrators rotate on a schedule arranged for two-hour recording sessions. Mrs. Sales says she sometimes does two sessions a day. A few times, she has encountered a book that has made her wonder how it got into print. You have to pretend that you like it. Do what you think the writer should have done, she said. The book becomes better when you read it aloud because you're able to put the meaning into it that the author seems to have missed. The Printing House program uses paid narrators who identify themselves at the beginning and end of each cassette. The listener gets to know you and can request tapes that you've made, Sales said. You can build a close relationship. Gary Mudd, director of public affairs for the Printing House, lost his sight at 12 in 1964. He said Mrs. Sales has a special place in his life. She was the narrator of the first talking book that I used. Sales recalled the tape she received from a blind teacher in Colorado, telling me that she had been listening to me for years and wanted to let me know how much she appreciated what I was doing. We became good friends. While attending a convention in Orlando, Florida in August, she was approached by a well-dressed woman. There were tears streaming down her face. I'm not usually this emotional, the woman explained, but I want you to know something. I had a terrible childhood. I was abused by my mother. The only happiness I can remember was when I could go back to my room and listen to your books. In December of 1988, Sales was one of four charter inductees into the Talking Book Hall of Fame. Recently, she was honored by the National Library Service for the many years she has brought the pleasure of books to the blind. We've been hearing a lot about Catholic radio in our last couple editions of the DX Audio Service, and I saw an article in Crane's Detroit Business, which talks about a radio station up in Detroit that is spreading the word via radio. Area Catholic investors buy WCAR 1090 for $2 million. Detroit area Roman Catholics, who pioneered religious broadcasting 60 years ago, then largely abandoned it, are reviving Catholic radio with the $2 million purchase of WCAR 1090 AM. Out of the 1,500 religious-oriented radio stations on the air nationwide, only five or six have been Catholic in recent years. At a Catholic conference in Sterling Heights in November of 1997, two speakers called on the crowd to change that and increase sharply the number of Catholic stations. So they did. Troy attorney John Cruz got together with a number of prominent area Catholics who initially met once a month, then raised the money needed to buy a radio station they could convert to a Catholic format. Skeptics warned that such an idea would never make money. So Cruz told potential investors that their investment was more of a religious good work than an investment and not to expect to make money. Accountants subsequently predicted the plan would make money, so the investors are considering using profits to build an even bigger network and spread the message over more stations. We told people there would probably be no return on their investment, but the value of the investment would be protected because the radio station itself has a value that goes up, Cruz said. There's been no new radio licenses in Detroit since 1962, so there are only so many signals available. While 1090 Investments LLC was set up as a business to buy the station, a nonprofit, WCVA Incorporated, standing for Catholic Voice of America, was set up to provide most of the programming and raise money for the station. It does business as Detroit Catholic Radio. The station's programming will run talk shows, motivational and inspirational speakers, some music, masses and other ceremonies, and news of religion, and possibly will provide programming from Vatican Radio, the Detroit Archdiocese, and other Catholic stations. As prominent Detroit area Catholics turn WCAR into a Catholic station, a separate San Francisco-based group of Catholic investors purchased 10 stations nationwide this month as an effort to triple the number of Catholic stations, Cruz said. Since we're really pioneers, we hope we can help other groups in the country to follow our example and do the same thing, he said. We're amazed at the excitement this has generated. During the summer, the group held a fundraiser dinner, and after sending out 2,000 invitations with just 3 weeks lead time, got almost 1,000 checks, with 860 attending the event. Advertising, donations, and the help of volunteers should meet the station's expenses of about $15,000 a month, Cruz said. The Detroit group has its own ambition to spread its message into the markets throughout the state. WCAR is sharing some programming with Ann Arbor-based WDEO AM 1090, a station funded by the Mater Christi Foundation. That foundation was set up by Domino's Pizza Incorporated CEO Tom Monahan, who participated in the early talks amongst the WCAR investor group. Monahan is not an investor in WCAR, but could be at some point, Cruz said, who once represented Monahan in a case. Cruz said WCAR's signal is weaker in eastern Macomb County, and the group would like to share programming with more stations to spread its message into more markets. 1090 Investments has 32 investors, including former Michigan National Corporation Chairman Robert Mylod, and a wide range of business people who bought units starting at $50,000 each, Cruz said. I guess it's something the Lord wanted to happen, Mylod said, about the relative ease the group had of coming together and raising the money. There's a new interest now in the importance of religion in our culture and in our society, he said. Certainly, the country is in a situation now where there's a great opportunity for us to turn to our thoughts of God. In recent years, Catholic programming was in many cases confined to shortwave radio until the call went out to spread the faith through radio, an industry in which the church has no prominent role for years. In the 1930s, the Reverend Charles Coughlin broadcast a radio show from Royal Oak's Shrine of the Little Flower that reached 40 million listeners worldwide, double the audience of today's most popular syndicated radio shows. But with time, Coughlin's populist message grew anti-Semitic. By 1942, the church ordered him off the air. In subsequent years, Catholics largely shied away from broadcasting, while other religious faiths began buying time and running radio and TV stations, broadcasting their religious themes, said WDEO General Manager Al Krista. Today, radio markets, however, filled with niche stations designed to appeal to selective audiences advertisers wish to reach. Bob Hines, general manager and morning host for WYUR AM 1310 in Dearborn, put his station on the air a year ago with the intent of reviving the format and rehiring many of the former staffers of WJR AM 760 after a shakeup there. He said the WCAR effort should be successful, noting that they have a strong contributor base amongst Michigan's largely Catholic community. They've got a natural market from all those church bulletins and the Michigan Catholic newspaper to help them promote. While WCAR is a small station, he said he's seen enough resumes to know that it has been a starting point for many of Detroit radio personalities. Hines said the $2 million paid for WCAR is not a lot of money in today's market. Normal appreciation and inflation will make that station much more valuable in the coming years, he said. Cruz, who's been getting calls from advertisers since the purchase was announced, pictures the station as an instrument for helping families who wish to give their children a more moral environment. Instead of watching television, he said families could turn on WCAR 1090 and listen to an inspirational message or prayer before going to bed. "We hope to make a difference," Cruz said. "Jesus said, go forth and teach. So that is what we're trying to do, to reach out to as many people as we can." Well, members, my voice is about ready to give out here, so I think what I'm going to do is play you a little tidbit of what's on After Dark number 9. It's coming out soon. It's a interview with John DeBecca from LPB, and I think you'll find this a little interesting. Taking my neighborhood, for example, here, we've got several blocks of area around my home here, and I've got, I would say, at least 7 or 8 transformers up on poles here. So I'm going to have a little bit of a problem. What is the best way to broadcast to, say, several blocks from my location here?
Okay.
If I don't want to load the power lines.
The most effective alternative to that is the 100 milliwatt rule for AM. So if anybody listening has a copy of the rule book, it's 15.219.
You know that right off the top of your head.
Yeah,
huh?
I've memorized a few too many of these rules in my time. the rule lets you have basically 100 milliwatts, a tenth of a watt of power on AM into a vertical antenna and grounding system. You can't exceed 3 meters total length for the whip antenna and the ground lead combined. But those systems will typically get you anywhere from a couple hundred feet to a half a mile radius. Mostly dependent on frequency availability, but being a short antenna type system, it's something that does the best at the high end of the band, and ideally that's where you're going to find the best gaps anyway, because that the expanded band on AM hasn't been fully exploited yet. So you've got that section from 1610 to 1700 where most current radios will find you, but not that many stations are in place yet.
Can 100 milliwatts actually cover a significant area?
We have a number of them in operation for Christmas light shows, where they're covering entire parks filled with Christmas light displays.
Really?
Yeah. The critical issue, besides getting a good ground, is the frequency operation.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that's running above 1610, typically 1620 works great.
Mm-hmm.
They find that they get anywhere from a quarter to a half a mile radius.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah.
That's certainly enough to cover a typical neighborhood.
But you wouldn't recommend going down onto, say, 530 or 540 or something like that, would you?
Not typically with a vertical antenna, because the length of the antenna is so short.
Okay.
If you were working like the highway systems that we've done, those operate at 530, but they have antennas that are specifically cut to that frequency. So you get a much greater performance in that. But when you're talking about something that you're looking at a small area, inexpensive system, the best bet is first to look at the high end of the band, because it's the least occupied section in any community. And it's also going to give you the best match as far as the vertical antenna that's regulated in length.
Now, I understand that there are some stations that use antennas which radiate quite well. In fact, I think I recall, isn't there something in Dallas that American Airlines is using?
Yes, that's an impressive site.
Yes.
We built both of those. There's one on 1640 and one on 1680. That's Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. They're actually, DFW Airport is actually the licensee. American Airlines is just the... Well, American Airlines basically owns that airport, so they run and they financed and they manage those systems, but they are licensed to the airport authority. Those are actually both wavered systems that operate in excess of the standard Part 90 highway information rules. They are running at just under 60 watts in both cases.
And what kind of antenna are they using?
They both have 15-meter, 49-foot whip antennas that are built to frequency with top hats and big ground systems and matching units.
So it's actually meant to cover the whole airport real well.
Yeah, the intent was that 1640 and 1680 were to be used to one for arrivals and one for departures, and they were wavered for that power level because they needed to be able to cover both metro areas because the airport serves both metro areas.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an interesting story. They had a large, a series of large signs there that used to announce the arrivals and departures, and apparently they got sufficiently confusing that there was a severe accident and a successful lawsuit against the airport, claiming that those signs were actually the cause of the accident because people had to stop to read them in the middle of this expressway. So their solution was to go to an open-air broadcast system where they'd be able to talk to people long before they got to where they could have read the signs originally.
Now, have you been down there and seen that site? Or
I have not been down there. Our engineer in California was the guy that was doing the field work.
And that's just a portion of our interview that we conducted on After Dark number 9. I'd like to thank John for doing that interview with us. The entire interview is on After Dark, and I'll have details on the complete scope of all the After Dark editions, plus our magazine on our next edition, because we're flat out of time. I will release the information on the webpage, but if you'd like to pre-purchase After Dark number 9 or 10, the cost is $5 per issue. That's it. That's all. There's no more. I'm going to see you in 30 days and hopefully with a voice back. This is Fred Vobey, 73, Good DX, and get out and support radio.